Justine and the whole worship team. Wonderful job. And let's welcome Daisha.
Today, how many of you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? And the person that created us knew that we were going to be very complex beings. And fearfully doesn't mean, you know, that we need to be afraid of anything or we were created with fear. What that means is that we are intricate and complex, which can be kind of intimidating. I'm going to talk just a little bit about us as humans, and then the rest of my message today is going to be about other things. And if you know me and my personality, every single thing that I'm going to talk about is, it's going to sound like we're in a little bit of a science, biology, quirky, weird service, but that's just part of my personality. But I want you to be able to see the reason why I'm talking about all of this, because there is a reason. There is a method to my madness. I believe I really should share this with you. And I hope that by the time you leave today that you maybe learn something that you didn't know. How many of you know that there's beauty in all creation? The beautiful and things that we may think are ugly or moments that are not good. In Psalms 19, 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. The sky, the daylight, and the night don't speak." But what this means is that they don't use any words, but they do speak to us. Their voice goes out to all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. So God's creativity is, it's mind-blowing. And it doesn't stop with us as humans, even though we're the greatest creature that he made. The natural world is a powerful testament to the glory and majesty of God. I don't know about you, but there is so much ugly, and in the media, in the news, in our daily lives, with things that we have to deal with as human beings. Illness, sickness, terminal diagnosis, pain. It's very easy when that's taking over that that's the only kind of focus that we have, because we hone in on the negative. It's something that we cannot help because we are, like I said, humans. And I was kind of investigating why this happens, why we do this. And it goes all the way back to whenever the first humans were on the earth. Everything was about survival. And I'm sure it was a scary world because there were big, large creatures and things like that that were coming after us. But now what I think it has a lot to do with is it's just an easy thing to do. Instead of going outside and taking a deep breath and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day," and looking at the sun. If we have other things interfering with this, we tend to focus on the negative, and media emphasizes the negative, the news. I mean, it's very, very rare that you're ever going to see anything there that's positive. It's up to us to kind of dig that stuff out. And fear and anxiety play a huge role in that. And this morning, I want to kind of put that stuff to rest. I'm going to keep this kind of lighthearted, but I did want to bring that in there because we need to spend more time being appreciative of the things around us instead of so overly concerned with the bad and the ugly. So what I'm saying is when you are, if you're outside and it's dark and you get the experience of watching the clouds part, and you get to see that little crack of sunlight and that sun shines on your face. That was part of our Creator's design. We're meant to enjoy these things. And we need to do a little more of this, what I'm talking about right now. The beauty and vastness reflect His creativity. The regularity of day and night serves as a reminder of His faithfulness. Think about that. He creates daylight and night to remind us of His faithfulness. When is there a day that there isn't daylight? I mean, it can be dreary out, but we can still see. They don't speak literally, but they convey through their existence and beauty, which can be understood by all of us, all over the world, people everywhere. And there's people in other places of the world that can appreciate this much more than we do because they rely on other things because they don't have the technology or running water or stoves that, you know, produce their food. They have to make their own fire and find and hunt and gather their own items. It's still happening today. The beauty and order of creation are accessible to all, transcending language and culture. All people can see his glory through the natural world. I wanted to bring this up because this is something about humans. If you think about DNA, which is what we consist of, but there are people that study this, that discovered this. That's already mind-blowing in itself. How many of you connect smells to experience? There's a scientific backing of that because I do too. Like, I still cannot stand the Easter lilies. I call them funeral flowers because when I smell those, it doesn't matter if I'm in Walmart or anywhere. If I smell that, I instantly am in the uncomfortableness of a funeral home because they smell like those. They're very fragrant. Well, in our brain, we have something called the olfactory bulb. And that is a part of our brain where odors, they go directly there and it goes to our limbic system. And our limbic system is where memories, just listen to this. This is our creator, okay? Our limbic system is where emotions, memories, behavior, and smell. So the olfactory bulb has that purpose. So I think back to whenever I was a child and I would go to my grandmother's who lived down the road, my great grandmother. And when I walked in her house, there was a specific smell. And I know, Susan, you probably know what I'm talking about, Sheila. Anybody that has ever gone in through her door, you know what I mean. I can't describe it to you. It was just there. But when there are no smells that exist, except every once in a while when my grandmother makes and my uncle make homemade bread. If I'm at, I call her Manny, but if I'm at Jean Harris's house and they're making fresh bread, I'm also instantly transported to my great grandmother's house years and years ago. So that's amazing. That's amazing to me that in our brain, first of all, it's amazing that we have a brain the size that we do. Some of us don't use it like we should, but it's there. And I'm the type of person that likes to be constantly learning. And what I just told you, those couple facts, that's pretty unbelievable. And I don't expect everyone to be sitting around thinking of their olfactory bulb because this might be the first time that we've heard of this. But that was pretty cool. I thought that they're connected. I always wondered about that too, because even music does the same thing, but mainly smells because they're connected to memories. This just gives us an appreciation of our Creator. And there's purpose in all creation. And there are new animals and sea creatures being discovered like all the time because we can't go to those depths. I just recently saw something that I thought was fascinating because we can't even get there to see these things. We have no idea what half this, we think we know, but we have no idea. But the complexity is what I want to talk about. Because I know we've all been in a place where we're just trying to stay alive. And life is hard. But if you can find ways to find joy in every little thing, and I'm going to show you something right now. So keep the staying alive in your head. Now, before Sheila puts this video on, this is where I didn't make the video, but it's perfect. I want to talk to you about what the video is featuring. This creature is one of God's creations. It is called a peacock spider. And the peacock spider is little teeny tiny It is only 2.5 to 5 millimeters. It's very, very little, but it does a very fancy dance to try to get the attention of the female peacock spider. So I know we spend a lot of our life trying to stay alive, but let's bring some humor to this, Sheila. Take it away. I'll just talk to you a little bit while we do figure this out. Usually I write my notes once. I know I've told you this before, but it's humorous too. I write my notes once. I tear everything out. I look them over because it's like just everywhere. And I number the pages and I rewrite them again, usually with two different colored pens, highlighters, sticky notes. I challenged myself this morning because I do have OCD. And it's hard for me to say that, but I live with it every day. I left my notes alone, and you're going to see me flipping around everywhere. I'm probably skipping over things, but that's because on purpose I decided not to rewrite everything. I just left them alone, and I had success with that, so praise be. Okay, we figured it out. We're good from here on out, Sheila, I think. So I know that was funny, but if you really think about it, He is our creator, and He's creative, and He wants us to smile and laugh. He wants us to have joy in all circumstances. And I know that was pretty funny, but if you really think about it, that spider is smaller than my pinky nail. And it has those little tiny hairs in those bold colors. That is amazing. And it was designed to do that little dance to attract a female, which is amazing. I don't know that that would draw me in, but I mean, those little legs waving up in the air and those side hops, I mean, I don't know. That was pretty impressive. So in Psalm 104, 24 through 25, it says this: "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things large and small." In Psalm, it talks a lot about this stuff, and it's amazing. It's amazing. In Psalms 118:24, it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Some days are hard, but we can still get up because we are able to get up, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. And there's beauty around us everywhere. And sometimes it might be hard to find, but it's there if you really dig around. In Genesis 1:31, it says, "God saw all that He had made, and it was very good." This affirms the inherent goodness of His creation. And this just gives us the other things we're going to look at, and this is where it's going to sound like a science class, but He made all of these things for us to enjoy and to learn about and to be fascinated with. That's my goal this morning, is to make you smile, which I already did that because I saw. Even before I played the video, people were giggling, which I like. I really like. So now I'm going to show you some pictures of some animals and creatures that are pretty fascinating, and then I'm going to read you some facts about them. And Sheila, the first one is the ant with the leaf. I'm sure many of us have seen something similar to this image on National Geographic or wherever, but that is a leaf cutter ant. And usually they're in an army of, there's multiples of those. They have very big mandibles. Their mouth parts are pretty big. And what they do is they have the ability to cut those leaves with their mouths and carry them just like that. But it doesn't end there. These leaf cutter ants use the leaves to cultivate a fungus. So they're farmers, in essence. They're farmers of a fungus, which serves as their food source. So these leaf cutter ants, I'm going to say that one more time, let that resonate with you, because this is an ant, ladies and gentlemen. We probably step on these or spray these. Well, not this kind, they don't live around here. But they are able to cultivate a fungus that feeds their colony. That's amazing. Is everybody still with me? I'm just kidding. Now, this next one, Sheila, this is the one where it looks like the gas is coming out. I'm probably going to scare everybody right now, but the gas is coming out of the beetle's rear. Yes. Okay. This, if I did nothing else today, we're laughing. So that's important. And believe me, it doesn't end here. The Bombardier beetle, its defense, wait, do you hear this? This is unbelievable. But this beetle ejects a hot, stinky chemical, which is, that's bad enough. But it sprays from the abdomen and it can reach a temperature as high as 212 degrees Fahrenheit. That is hot stuff. I don't know what else to call it. We'll call it a fluid, okay, for lack of a better term. Now, obviously, we know that that is not to attract a female. I surely hope that is a defense mechanism, okay? I'm going to throw this in here before we move on to some of the other things, but praying mantises, talk about some strong females. After they mate with the male, they eat the male. So, not sure about that. And from here on out, some of these things might be a little bit questionable on if you think they're beautiful or not. I don't know that I would say that is a beautiful beetle spraying very hot stuff. But it's fascinating and it's beautiful because our Creator made it. Okay? Now, this next image, the butterfly, Sheila, this is beautiful. This is called the glasswing butterfly, and the image speaks for itself, but most of you know that butterflies have a powder on their wings. It's a protection. This particular butterfly is see-through. That is so cool. It almost reminds me of stained glass. And if you notice, sometimes in artwork and things that are found in nature and stained glass, they mimic each other. Because the artist almost always has a connection to the outside world, to nature. For example, Vincent van Gogh, who painted Starry Night, he painted the stars very out of proportion because he wanted them to be kind of large on the painting so that they captured people's attention because he was enamored by them. I'm going to do one more animal, and then I'm going to talk about plants. This, I'm going to have to be creative here and bear with me because I don't want to say some of the facts. The words are very graphic, but so you'll get it, okay, without me going too detailed because he'll have to be bleeping a bunch of stuff out. Okay, the thing that looks like a shrew mouse thing with the long nose. Okay, this little creature is called... Now, I want to make sure I'm saying this right, a solenodon. And it's one of the only venomous mammals in the world. So these things, this one is from Cuba, and they think that they swam there. Isn't that crazy? They're an ancient animal, but they're still living, but they think that they swam through water and ended up in Cuba. Now, a couple strange facts is the solenodon smells like a goat. And here's where I have to be creative. So, and you're probably going to laugh because I'm going to have to try to find a way around this. But the females, they feed their young from the rear end. So how mammals feed their young, are you following me? Female mammals feed their young. These are on the rear of this animal. So those items that feed the young are on the rear end of the solenodon. And not only do they feed them from their rear end, but they carry them back there also, hanging from those things. Yikes. So I'm glad we, as females, were fearfully and wonderfully made the way we were designed, because it was all by design. But for some reason, and I think it's because so we could get a good laugh this morning, hearing me try to go beat around the bush here, but that they carry and feed their babies from the butt. They're also very bad-tempered because they're a venomous mammal. So they actually have a space in their teeth to shoot the venom out, and their venom is equivalent to what a viper has. So they're a pretty dangerous little thing. I wouldn't want to have a run-in with one of those. Okay, Now I'm going to move on to plants. And before I do that, listen to these. There's some new studies that have come out. And most of us know that plants do communicate with each other, not by language, but they release chemical signals called VOCs. And they're organic compounds that respond to stress. So, and they warn other plants, prompting them to activate their own defense mechanisms. So what happens is, say a certain type of plant is being attacked by insects. That plant will release a chemical compound, these VOCs, that signals to the other plants that prepare for takeover, in other words. So that's so that the other plants can release their defense mechanism. That's pretty fascinating because, I mean, plants are a living things, and we know that God created them. So they're part of creation. They are alive, but they don't have mouths. Some do. They don't have mouths to talk to us with, so they can't communicate. It's a little bit different than an animal. I mean, I don't know anybody that carries their spider plant around like it's a pet, like in a carrier at the store. You know, people do with their dogs now all of a sudden. Have you been seeing this? It's like we're, I'm in a restaurant, some, and then they're not always service dogs. They're just, they're children in a bag or even a stroller. Anyway, so they warn other plants, and we're going to look at this tree. This is the, I hope I'm saying this right, the baobab tree, and it's sometimes referred to as the tree of life. It grows in Africa. They're known for their big, huge, massive trunks that store water. So they're able to store enough water in that trunk so that they could survive through droughts. Listen to this. These things can live for over 1,000 years. So imagine being that tree and the things that that tree has experienced or witnessed or saw. That's amazing. Some plants respond to touch. Some plants respond to wind. There's a plant called the sensitive plant that when you touch it, it curls up on itself instantly. I think I told most of you that I teach art, but I usually try to incorporate other subjects into my lessons, and this year we're focusing on different biomes. And we were in the rainforest recently, and there's a plant there called the corpse flower, and it's about 3 feet in diameter. It's a parasitic plant. So what happens is a little piece of it goes into dead and decaying trees. It grows on the tree. It has a huge opening in the center, and the reason why it's called a corpse plant is because the odor that it emits smells like rotting flesh or meat. And what it does is it attracts these flies, they go in there, and they help pollinate this plant. It's kind of attractive looking, but I don't know, they call it a flower. It's really not a flower, it's more like a fungus or how we would think of a mushroom. But there have been new studies out that where plants and trees are communicating with each other in ways we didn't think were possible. So we're going to look at another video. This is National Geographic this time. And trees communicate through their root systems under the ground. And Sheila, we're going to watch like most of this, but I don't think I'm going to let it play the entire way through. But it's important because you can definitely see God's handiwork in this. Okay, Sheila, you can pause it there. When I first saw that actually, it made me cry just now, but that made me cry. That is unreal. That one tree is connected to all those trees. It made me think about us and the connection we have to our Creator. You don't have to have a direct line. We're all part of Him. That is an absolutely amazing way to speak to somebody that only speaks science. Show them this, because that is unfathomable. That one tree is taking care of all of those other trees. So it's warning them underground through the root system, which are called root exudates. They communicate that way by letting each other know when there's a bug that's going to invade or whatever. I mean, it's not a miracle worker, but they're trying to protect each other. It made me think about us as humans. that we need to be more like these trees that are taking care of each other in all these different ways. I mean, that is amazing. So we know that we were created by Him. We are a product of His handiwork. And these other things that He's created, how many of us enjoy food? Certain tastes and things. All of that is part of His glorious creation. I'm going to read you this is a poem from T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding. It's pulled out from the whole thing. This was published originally in 1943. I'm going to read the whole thing. Sheila, you can just put up the one image that I sent you of the one quote that's the most impactful. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of our exploring will to be to arrive where we first started and to know the place for the first time. Let that resonate with you for a moment. Through the unknown, remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover is that which was the beginning. At the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, and the children in the apple tree. Not known because not looked for, but heard in the stillness between two waves of the sea. We shall not cease from exploration. And the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. In closing, have you ever taken a moment to really appreciate nature and its beauty? The intricate designs of the flowers, of the sunrise and the sunset. Each creature plays a unique role in the ecosystem, which really shows the wisdom in God's creation. Everything reflects His handiwork. Behind the intricate balance is the spiritual presence of the Creator. He's in our lives all the time, and He's surrounding us everywhere, in the good times and in the bad times. Psalms 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." We know that He is inherently good. His love endures forever, and we need to proclaim His goodness and His love. David said in Psalm 27:13, "I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It's here, it's now. So if you don't remember anything else from this message, Sheila, this is the water droplet on the head with a flower inside. If you remember nothing else, please remember this. This is a curious jumping spider sporting a water droplet on its head that a very talented nature photographer was able to capture the reflection of the flower behind it. Do you see that? I'm going to close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for each day that we're given, for the sunrise and the sunset, whether we're hurting or we're happy, if we're having a good day or a bad day. Your existence and Your goodness and Your beauty, it never ever fails us. I pray over each and every one of us here this morning that we carry with us Your love to spread through all of the earth and help share Your beauty with others. I pray over everyone sitting here that has a need in their body. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You walk through us with all experiences. And You've already taken care of it all. It's already done. We don't have to crawl in our bellies, even though sometimes it might feel like it. Your love never fails. It has taken care of us. since the beginning of time, since before we were created. And we thank you for that, that you take care of us today in the present and in the future and even in the past, because there is no limit to your time. Let us be comforted knowing that. In Jesus' name.